Back in July of 1991, Jesus Jones hit number one in the U.S. with the song Right Here, Right Now. And the song was so big that it helped the band sell out every tour date in the U.S. back then before they even came over here. And then they also won MTV's award for Best Newcomer in 1991. And to this day, they're still active and joining us right now via Skype. And making a connection is Ian Baker from the band. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really good. You're saying all that about 20 years ago. You're making me feel old.
I feel old, too, because I've been loving you guys forever, man.
Oh, man, that's nice. That's really nice. Cheers, Davo. Thank you.
So how are things going? Where are you at these days?
Where are we living or where are the band at?
Yeah, right. Where are you guys at? You're still in the UK somewhere, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, 4/5 of us are still in the UK. Most of us live in London, though Alan, our bass player, he moved to Chicago in the mid-90s, and he's been there ever since. So we've got one of our guys infiltrating you lot over there.
Huh. Well, great. So, okay, the latest news on the band, I want to talk about that right off the bat. So I know you guys, the website's kind of being redone, about to relaunch, and then I've heard some rumors of new materials coming out in the future. Can you kind of update us on where everything's at?
New material, we've been thinking about doing it, but we haven't quite got round to actually doing it yet. I mean, it's been so long since we've actually recorded any new material. It's like 4 or 5 years, something like that. But this whole process of getting, you know, round to doing gigs again, we're playing in Japan and Australia and what have you, that whole process has been really creatively fulfilling. And I sat down with Mike, singer, a little while ago, and he said to me, you know what? All this has just made me want to get back in a studio again, you know. And he said it wouldn't necessarily be to, you know, to put out an album or to do something to sell records. He said, I just want to get in there and start doing it again, you know, first off, for my own pleasure. So that's about where we're at the moment. We're looking to sort of get to the point where we can get in the studio and start doing stuff again.
Oh, we got to make that happen. I'm going to push you guys so you guys will do it, man. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, push all you want, mate. Push all you want.
Okay, so then, now you personally, I know you're a proud dad, obviously, and then I've read a broadcaster over there. Can you tell us about that DJ thing? You know, is that true?
Yeah. Well, I do what you do, mate. I did until about a year ago. When my daughter was born, I went on a little bit of gardening leave, which meant that, you know, I'm staying at home looking after her for quite a lot of the time so that my wife can work. And it's cool. I get to watch my little girl grow up, all of that sort of stuff. But before that, for I suppose about, oh, God, maybe about 10 years, something like that, I worked in radio. So I worked on a station called XFM over here, which is, I suppose, it's a bit, you know, it's like the biggest alternative radio station in the UK. So I did that. And then I also worked on a station called NME Radio, which is the radio wing of, I suppose people will have heard it over there, NME magazine, which is, you know, like the weekly music press magazine we got over here. So I did all of that stuff for a while. It was great. Really good fun.
Well, you have to critique this interview at the end. I want to know your thoughts, how I handle this as a broadcaster. So
it makes it kind of easier to do it. Cause I've been on the other side of the microphone, mate. Yeah. I know exactly how you feel. So it puts me at ease. Do you know what I mean? I'm fine with it all.
And hopefully you'll be impressed with some of these questions. So let's start from the beginning then. So late 1988, you guys were formed. So how did you guys meet? How'd you come together?
Mike, the singer, Jen, the drummer, Alan, the bass player, had known each other for quite some time. They lived down in the West Country in the UK and had been in kind of bands that hadn't really sort of been anywhere. And Jen and Mike actually moved up to London to sort of, it's one of those things, you know, to find fame and fortune, to make it as a band. And as so often happens, it didn't really happen. So eventually, you know, they kept reinventing themselves. And then Alan came up from the West Country and joined the band. And little by little, it started to focus in. And then in 1988, beginning of 88, they got Jerry as another guitarist. He was just via one of those little want ads in the paper. And Mike bumped into me, and I suppose I'm the last link. Mike bumped into me in a bar in North London in late 1988. And we were both skaters at the time. And at that time, you could recognize a skater from a mile away by, you know, the shoes they're wearing or the clothes they're wearing. And he said to me, "You skate?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Why don't you come and skate?" So we went and skated. And after about a week's worth of skating around London, he said, "Oh, I'm in a band." within about 2 weeks, I joined, you know, and that's how it all came together.
Did you have aspirations of being in a band when you were younger, growing up?
Well, everybody has aspirations of being in a band, really, don't they? I mean, everybody stands in front of a mirror with a tennis racket or sings the words to their favorite songs and thinks, oh, wouldn't it be great if it was me on stage? So I suppose I had aspirations, you know, like everybody else had, but I didn't ever think that it would happen. Do you know what I mean? And I remember vividly when Mike played me the demos, the first ever Jesus Jones demos, and said, you know, do you want to be in the band? I was like, this is a no-brainer, because they were so good. I just couldn't see any other way than the band being being really successful.
So, okay, so I've also, it's kind of a cool name, at least from the story, how I understand it. I'll let you tell it. But the name Jesus Jones, how'd you guys come up with that?
No, you're not pushing this one on me. I want to hear where you got the story from. Come on, give me the story.
So the story is that you chose the two popular, the surnames, so Jesus being the Spanish and Jones being the U.S., like the last name, the most common names. Is that true?
It's kind of true. It's the iconic story, isn't it, that we got our name from being Brits on a beach in Spain, and we mixed up an English name and a Spanish name. And it's kind of true. The name did come from a sort of a brainstorming thing when we were on holiday in Spain. But as to whether we were being that clever and actually realizing it, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, it's over 20 years ago that the name was decided upon. I think it also could have come down to the fact that it's two words that begin with J, do you know what I mean? And it's one of those things that flows quite well. Jesus Jones, dum-de-dum. And at the end of the day, everybody in a band, you want something so that, well, you know, when you write it or you tell people, instead of them going, oh, God, that name sucks, you want them to say, oh, that's kind of a cool name. And as soon as somebody said Jesus Jones, we were like, yeah, that works.
Did anybody ever call you Jesus in the early days before they knew who you were?
I don't think they did, you know. And I think that we were waiting for that to happen, but it never happened.
You know how it is in radio. Sometimes, like even to this day, I'll play a new artist and I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, and I'll just totally butcher it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I always used to do is just go and pretend that you got it wrong, or you know, you can fudge it a little bit. We shouldn't be telling people this. This is professional behind the scenes information.
You'll know what I'm talking about with this. Just turn the levels up. Turn the music a little bit louder behind your voice when you're saying it, then bring it back down after.
Yeah, that's right. And then everybody out there is listening to it going, what did he say? What did he say when they're called? Nobody, I don't think anybody did.
That's kind of funny.
It was a long time ago. What can I say?
We're talking to Ian right now from Jesus Jones. So 89, the debut album came out, which was, Liquidizer. And yep. Then... you know, a lot of love came out for Info Freako, obviously. And then Right Here, Right Now was also on the first album, but I've never actually, honestly, heard the full album cover to cover. So is the original version of that track fairly similar to the one that became a smash later or not?
It is pretty similar. The original is, I think, a little bit longer. It hasn't got quite such a sort of commercial gloss to it. When the song was recorded, we knew that it was a great song. As soon as Mike had written it, he knew it was a great song. And as soon as we actually went into the studio and kind of made the finished version, we knew that it sounded kind of bright and confident, and it was catchy, and it had everything in the right place. But when it was taken to the States, I think it was, you know, over there, because radio in the States is different from what it is over here. They just sort of polished it up a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, so the first time around, was that ever pushed as a single on the first album or not?
We released it as a single over here, and it was kind of successful. And then when it came out over in the States, then it took on a life of its own, really.
Yeah. So okay, by 91, the second album, Doubt, came out, and that, you know, in the States here especially, had the re-release of Right Here, Right Now on it. So the song itself, I mean, is the Berlin Wall stuff all true? That's pretty much how he wrote that. And then, you know, what does the track mean to you personally?
I suppose it's a lot of people think that it was about the fall of the Berlin Wall. And we'd just been to Romania at the after the fall of Ceausescu, after the revolution in Romania. And I think a lot of people thought that it was written in response to that, so that we went around the world, saw what happened, and wrote a song about it. It was actually written before that, and some of the song refers back to other songs that were around at that time. There was a song around at the time which referenced revolution and the fact that revolution, you know, as it says, you know, Bob Dylan didn't have this to sing about. The song referenced the fact that revolution was sort of something that just belonged to the 60s, and Mike was very much of the opinion that if you picked up the papers, there was quite enough revolution going on at that time, and it was a revolution of our own, you know what I mean? So it's like we didn't need to be looking back to history. We needed to be focusing on what was happening right now and making our own history, and that's what the song's about.
Did it surprise you at all that it was, I mean, it was big around the world, but it seemed like in the U.S. it just took off more than anywhere. Did that kind of surprise you at all, or not really?
Yes, it did in a way, I think. But that happens to all songs in a way. As soon as you release them, you let go of them. You relinquish control of the song, and it's very difficult for you to kind of maintain control over the song. So as soon as you put that out there, and you think that, you know, obviously it was written for a certain reason, and it has ramifications to us as a band. But as soon as you put it out there, everybody else that starts listening to it and goes and buys it, whatever, they're free to put their own personal meanings on it. And, you know, I wouldn't have that any other way. I remember it was used in the Gulf War. I think in there was footage of the first Gulf War of American troops coming back and being reunited with their families. You know, and the music was playing in the background, you know, right here, right now, there's no place I'd rather be. And really, that was nothing to do with the song itself. But how can you say to people, don't listen to that song? It's not about that. You know what I mean? I really, you know, you can't be like that as an artist. If people want to have that as a soundtrack to their own personal lives and emotions, no matter what the situation might be, then it's fine by us.
Yeah. And so I'm sure that'd be a thrill then, 1991 MTV Awards, Best Newcomer. Were you guys actually at the show? And what do you remember about that whole thing?
Where were you at the show? Have you not seen it on YouTube? It's on YouTube. You can search it on YouTube. I watched it about 3 months ago. Yeah, seriously. Somebody found it on YouTube and posted it online. So if you want to see it, it is online.
Oh, no, I'll have to look that up. What do you remember about it?
Not a great deal. I remember that I had, and this is going into like kind of slightly too much information, but I, you know, I'd hey, don't worry, it's nothing illegal, but
oh, darn it.
We just traveled over on the plane like a couple of days before. And you know, when you travel by the plane and you get ill, you know, on the plane, cause it's full of bugs and germs and what have you. And I got hit down by a pretty serious stomach bug. You know what I mean? So every 5 minutes, I'm just like, oh God, I've got to go to the toilet. So I go to the toilet. I keep going to the toilet all the way through the ceremony. I told you this was too much information, didn't I? And our manager was sitting next to us. And we were sitting, you know, in front. No, we were sitting in front of CNC Music Factory, who were up for the same award. All of us were convinced that they were going to win, you know. So I think it came to about 10 minutes before the award being given out. And I said to our manager, oh, no, I've got to go to the restroom for a little while. And she's like, you can't go. They're going to be giving your award out. And I'm like, we're not going to win. CNC Music Factory are going to win the award. So literally I walked out of the restroom, came into the venue, sat down, and literally 30 seconds later, they were like, and the award goes to Jesus Jones. So when I get up on stage, that's why I look so surprised.
That's a great story. That's priceless.
True story, Dave. True story.
So also in 91, and speaking of the U.S., the whole tour, you know, sold out before you guys ever set foot in this country, you know, at that time. What are your favorite memories of that 91 tour, and I guess of the U.S., you know, in general, touring?
We had so much fun. We had so much fun touring around the States. I mean, some great, great memories. All the various different places that we went, really. I mean, you know, Chicago was always great for us. New York, LA, the gigs in Texas were always incredible. I remember the for some reason, the girls in Texas used to chase you like about twice as hard as anywhere else in the States. And I don't have any scientific reasoning for why that should be, but it was always the case. What else do I remember? You know, the main thing that I remember is how much fun we had as a band. Because it's like you're your own little family, you know. You all sit there in the back of that tour bus, you know, watching America go by, watching this huge, amazing, beautiful country roll past the windows of the bus, you know what I mean? And it was a magical, wonderful experience. I really can't, you know, hopefully in the next couple of years when we do some more gigs, I want to come back and do it all over again.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. So the third album, 1993, Perverse. So the first, this may not mean anything to most people, but I think it's cool. And I want to talk about it. The first rock album to ever be recorded entirely in digital. How did that come about?
Because that's pretty much the way that we were recording anyway. You know, I mean, we had at the time it was cutting edge. Now it seems prehistoric. We had a couple of samplers, an Atari computer running Cubase. And that gave us, and various other little bits and bobs, and that gave us the power to pretty much record our songs there and then. And also at the time, we were listening to a lot of, you know, a lot of dance music, a lot of kind of breakbeat hardcore and early sort of techno out of the UK. And that was made in much the same way. And we listened to these great records and we thought, well, there's kids out there that are making records and pressing them up like this. Why do we as a rock band still have to, you know, go into a studio in the center of London for 2 weeks with a producer and yada, yada. So we thought, well, why don't we see if we can do most of it actually on the computers at Mike's house. So that's what we did. All of the entire album at one point existed on a stack of floppy disks. And then we took those floppy disks. Obviously we took them down to a studio and remixed it all and, you know, at the end of the process. But the whole thing was done, you know, initially just on floppy disks.
And do those floppy disks still exist somewhere? Are they still around?
Yep, I still got them. One second. In fact, I'm sitting in next to my computer at the moment. There you go. You can't actually see these, but I have in my hand, there you go, that's all the disks still. I mean, you can't do anything with them anymore, can you? But
they're the actual ones, really?
Yeah, of course. That's the actual ones. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's a dozen here with the entire album on.
And you know what we're doing right here? You're a radio guy. This is what we call theater of the mind in radio, right?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. We're breaking the wall, Dave, aren't we? We're breaking the wall.
For painting.
We've still got everything. And of course, that feeds into the kind of compilation album that we're doing, because there's loads of sort of unheard stuff. And that's why we've been digging in our archives a bit.
I was going to ask you about that too. How much stuff do you guys kind of have in the vault that we haven't heard yet? Like, give us a ballpark. How many tracks?
Well, we're just about to put this album out, which I think is going to be called just Jesus Jones, The Collection. It's going to be a double CD, available digitally, obviously, download as well. But one disc will be sort of like B-sides and album tracks. But the other side, the other disc, I want to see if I can get totally unheard material on. And that's going to include about a dozen tracks that people won't have heard before. It took me quite a long time going through the archive to try and find stuff like that, but it is there, you know. And I think that if there are any kind of Jesus Jones fans that think they've heard it all, you haven't heard it all quite yet, because there's a few things coming in the pipeline.
When are we getting this new album? I'm excited about this. When's this?
It's been me that's sort of overseeing the entire project. So at the moment, I've got all the stuff transferred over from tapes, from DAT tapes and what have you. I had EMI transfer that over digitally. So that's been done. So we have all the tracks ready to go. And we're just kind of, I'm just getting the artwork together. I need to write the sleeve notes as well. I need to kind of sit down, listen to those songs and kind of get my thoughts down so that people know a little bit more about them. So once I've done all of that, I don't know, a couple of months. It should be with people in a couple of months. Fingers crossed.
Great. Great, great. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to get off track there. So a couple more questions from the old days. So 94 to 96, kind of a hiatus. You know, how come that happened and what was going on during those times? Were you guys broken up or just taking time off? Or?
No, we never broke up. I always say to people, you know, people think that these gigs for us are a little bit of a reunion. And I say to have a reunion, you always need to actually have split up in the first place. And we never really did. What happened was that after the the release of Perverse, which is the third album, the music scene was sort of changing quite dramatically. I mean, you had the rise of kind of Seattle and Sub Pop and Nirvana and then Britpop and things like that. And none of that had really anything to do with us, you know what I mean? And we weren't one of those bands that wanted to slavishly follow fashion. You know, we weren't about to say, right, let's all wear plaid shirts and go grunge and do this or that. That was never us, you know? We kept on doing what we're doing. And it got to the point where the record company just said, well, okay, we'll part company then. So when you don't have a record contract anymore, you don't really have the means to get those records out to people. So even though you still exist as a band, people don't think that you do.
Okay, I see. Especially back then, before the iTunes and, you know, internet and stuff too.
Yeah, that's right. These days, if you want to find pretty much any band, and you know, your show's a pretty good example of this. You know, I mean, you can track down people pretty easily. You know, you can find stuff on the internet. You can look at YouTube. You can pull down a whole load of kind of source material really, really easily. But back in those days, in the kind of mid '90s. That really wasn't there then, do you know what I mean? So when you went quiet, people thought, oh, that's it, it's over.
Yeah, yeah. So, like we said, you guys have had several albums since then. You're working on a new one. When are we going to see you in the States again? Is there ever a possibility we're going to see you guys playing over here again?
I'd say there was a huge possibility. I mean, well, exactly. David, where we're at the moment, okay? So the plan is, for the moment, we're playing 3 gigs in Australia and a gig in Japan next month in August. And then hopefully the month after that, the compilation album should be out. And once we've done those things, it means that, you know, people, I think, you know, the press will have sit up and, you know, taken a little bit of notice that, you know, the word will be out, I suppose, that we're back doing gigs again. And once that's happened, it means that I can tell our agent to say, right, start talking to the people in the States now and see if we can get over and do some gigs there, because we would love to come back. So, you know, if I had a plan, it would be by this time next year to have gigs in place, to have a tour in place, to get back over there and start touring the States again. So, yeah, 2012. That's my master plan.
I love it. I love it. You'll have to come. I'm based in Kansas City. Have you been here before? You guys will have to come over here.
No, we've never. Can you believe it? I don't think we've ever been to Kansas City. So there you go. That's the first gig on the tour, sort of, isn't it?
You've been here? Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that surprises me.
Yeah, I know. We've been so many places. I'm pretty sure we never went to Kansas City. I don't know why.
You'd remember, because you said the girls in Texas, but they're great here too. So yeah.
So yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. See, that would be my yardstick for remembering. But yeah, I'm sure. That's weird, isn't it? I wonder why we didn't. No idea, mate. But we'll remedy it when we come back again.
There you go. We'll have a beer too. So then, okay, how do we stay up to date with the band then? Like, you know, like we said, the website is under construction. Yeah, you guys are working on that. Kind of tell us how we can stay updated and how people can look you up and get in touch with you and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we've got a Twitter account, as everybody has these days. It's twitter.com/JesusJonesBand, which is all one word. There's the Facebook page as well. Just search Jesus. If you're on Facebook, just search Jesus Jones. You'll find us. And the website, which is JesusJones.com, that's going to be up and running as soon as I can get it all sorted. I'm doing all of this, you know. So, I mean, I've got to... So I'm meeting my web guy on in about a week's time. And so hopefully at that point, you know, then we'll be almost good to go. So, yeah, those are the ways of finding us. So, yeah, if there's anybody out there that thinks that, you know, that the band kind of have, you know, that we've fallen by the wayside and we've split and we are no more... don't worry about it. We're still going. If you want to find us, come find us and say hello.
Right. And what about your future? Any broadcasting in the future? Any other projects for you personally?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things on the table at the moment. One of which is a sort of internet-based broadcasty thing, which I was working with a couple of years ago, and I'm trying to get that back off the ground again. But apart from that, I don't know really. I mean, when you have a little child, it's just it does throw you for six for a while. And you just think, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, my little girl's the most important thing in the world to me, not necessarily going out and finding another radio gig. You know what I mean? But if something comes up, then, Yeah, I don't think I'd say no. You know what radio is like? It's the most fun job in the world, isn't it?
It's addicting. It gets in your blood and your SOL, because you sometimes you just hate it and you want to do something else, but you can't, right?
Well, the reason why you know, this is going to be dull for everybody, but I think the reason why you love it is because it's so immediate. You know what I mean? You can talk to people and they hear that sort of stuff straight away. You know, I meet a lot of people in the media business who work on the television. And that's a little bit fake sometimes. You know, there's loads of takes and it's recorded again and again and again until it's perfect. Radio, if you get it right, it's brilliant. If you get it wrong, you know what? It's still brilliant.
Or we tell ourselves that, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Well, thank you so much for your time, man. It's been a pleasure. And I definitely want to stay in touch and definitely, you know, keep me up to date and keep us all up to date with everything. We'll be happy to get the word out here in the States. And we're getting you to Kansas City and over here soon to the States.
Okay, it's a done deal. Dave-O, it's a pleasure. We'll speak to you real soon, mate.
Take care. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.